The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Tuesday here on the Chuck Oliver Show. Dan Matthews in for Chuck. He will be back tomorrow. And, of course, as we do every week, every day, every second, every minute that this show is coming through this microphone and through your speakers, we talk college football here on the program, and that doesn't change as we're getting ready for spring practice. As normally, the chicken and green bean circuit gets going, which for those of you that don't know, I think I've explained it on here on this show before, is normally after spring practice, there's something that has been kind of nicknamed the chicken and green bean circuit, where it's, you know, the Optimist Club in Ocala, Florida is going to bring Dan Mullen in to speak and talk about how great this Florida team is going to be and how proud you're going to be of the young men this fall. And, you know, they're working hard. We're getting ready. All those different types of things. Well, of course, with COVID, haven't had necessarily the opportunity to be able to do that. But who knows? Maybe in some way of a smaller variation, we're able to see those return here as we get towards these summer months. And I know that those of you that have been touched by the cold recently, you're definitely looking forward to the warmer temperatures ahead. So I'm in that same category for sure. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to be talking Georgia Bulldogs, and seemingly they missed out on a huge transfer that I think a lot of people believed, including myself, that was going to be part of their program in spring football and going forward, and Jershon Miller, but not the case. We will talk about that and more with UGASports.com's Roddy Nabolsi in the bottom of this hour. Normally we take him in the bottom of last hour on a Tuesday, but we're going to take him in the bottom of this hour for two segments to close out the show this week, and that is Dave Bartu, College Football Matrix. So, of course, with it being a Bar Tuesday, we will make the most of that in the next or in the second hour of the show today. So that's what we have to look forward to. But as we normally do here in the top of hour two every day here on the show, Chuck is out, but I am in. Let's deliver some headlines.
Everything you need to know about college football, every single day. This is CFB 365, presented by Ecoderm. Text Ecoderm to 31996 now for your free sample of Ecoderm pain relief cream and CBD from Frank Thomas. Text ECODERM to 31996 now.
All right, first headline I just talked about a little bit. West Virginia transfer cornerback Jershon Miller picking Auburn and not Georgia to play his final 2 years of remaining eligibility. Now, the reason why Georgia was brought up, because it was thought they were a very likely destination. He is a Marietta native, which is in the Atlanta area, for those of you not too familiar. Went to Sprayberry High School there, and a lot of people believe that he would want to come closer to home and play in nearby Athens, which is less than an hour and a half away from Atlanta, and also, too, that he would follow his defensive backs coach, Jamile Adai, to Athens, but not the case. And I know for Georgia, at least for them, it's somebody that could have been a really huge addition for that program, because with Tyreek Stevenson no longer being there and a handful of other defensive backs leaving that secondary, he is somebody with the experience coming off of one of the best defenses in the country this last season at West Virginia, that could have been a monster help for Dan Lanning in that side of the ball in Athens, but not the case. Instead, he's going to go play for Derek Mason and the Auburn Tigers there on their defense. So Auburn, at least the last few days, Brian Harsin seemingly, like I was talking about last segment, about being able to sell the future, and he seemingly is being able to, at least here in the closing stages of the class of 2021, not only from the high school signing class, but also, too, from the transfer portal. He's selling something right there at Auburn, that it's one of those things of, hey, you know, yeah, the recruiting wasn't necessarily what we wanted it to be because there was a coaching change, but we're making the most of it now. So he's definitely on to a great foot in terms of being able to get that program where they hope to get it in the coming years at Auburn on the Plains. Next headline, let's go over to Big 12 country, because Oregon quarterback Tyler Shuck, I'd been saying his name wrong. I had said it as Shaw, but it's Shuck. And it doesn't look like that it should be Shuck, like Chuck, but it's Shuck is the way that you pronounce Tyler. The way it's written now is it looks like it's supposed to be said Shaw, but regardless, he is picking Texas Tech as a graduate transfer. He got 2 degrees from Oregon during his time in Eugene, and he still has 3 years of remaining eligibility. Started all 7 games last year for the Ducks, threw for more than 1,500 yards, 13 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, and he also added 2 scores on the ground. Late in the year, he was splitting time with Boston College transfer quarterback Anthony Brown, and likely going to lose his job because Brown is coming back for this season. And I know that he was replaced in the Fiesta Bowl, I think, in a couple of other games late in the season as well, that Brown got some significant playing time. But the Red Raiders entering their 3rd season under Matt Wells as their head coach, as he came over from Utah State, 8-14 in his first 2 years there in Lubbock. They need someone also as well. The starter for the majority of their games last year, Alan Bowman, like Shuck, has decided to leave and go elsewhere. I don't believe that he's chosen his next destination yet, but the Red Raiders also had Henry Columbia earn some time last year as their quarterback. So the former Ducks signal caller might have an opportunity there. I touched on this a little bit in the hour 1, and that is Notre Dame not going to be a part of the eventually re-released EA Sports college football video game. I think this is very much, like I said, it's a power play right now because Jack Swarbrick knows what the brand Notre Dame brings. And he also, again, with the power play, it's one of those, hey, we're willing to be held out of your video game unless you want to come see our side, and that is to give our guys some of the profits from the video game that you're going to be raking in. CJ ProSize, I saw this on Twitter yesterday. Those of you, I don't know, I believe it might be Samsung is the TV brand that ProSize is used in, where it's footage of him playing, and then you have a guy wearing a number 20 Notre Dame jersey running through. He's running through the TV screen, running through a wall, doing all these different types of things. And ProSize quote tweeted yesterday and said, oh yeah, no, I've seen the proceeds from that. It's much appreciated. So that's what Jack Swarbrick is trying to do. Final headline, LSU defensive analyst Aaron Schwanz is headed to Washington. This according to Bruce Feldman of The Athletic. He is a former linebackers coach at Southeastern Louisiana, has also coached at Wisconsin as well. So Ed Ogeron able to make some very impressive defensive hires this offseason, and also too able to add some strong help again behind the scenes with the analyst group that they have there on the support staff in Baton Rouge. But looks like he is losing at one of those to go out west and coach in the Pacific Northwest with the UW Huskies. So we'll see how things go forward for both sets of the purple and gold. Those are your headlines here to start off hour 2 on a Tuesday. Coming up next, as I mentioned, a lot of questions to be answered heading into spring for the Georgia Bulldogs next month. And as one of them I mentioned as well, that secondary, how does it shake out now that they did not get one that many people believed would be heading their way? Roddy Nabolsi, UGASports.com. He will join us here on the Chuck Oliver Show. It's Dan Matthews in for the King, Southern Sports Today.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number 1 in Georgia.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
It being a Bar Tuesday, we will do that here in the bottom of hour two, normally in the bottom of hour one, but like I said, with Mike Norvell joining us in hour one, had to switch things up a little bit on a Tuesday, but right now let's go to the phone lines. I want to talk with a man who knows the Georgia Bulldogs football program inside and out. You can find him on the Rivals site, UGASports.com, and he is Roddy Nabolsi. He joins us here on the show. Roddy, appreciate the time as always. Jershon Miller yesterday from West Virginia picking Auburn. How much of a surprise was that? I mean, how disappointed are people in Athens that he is not coming to their program, instead going out west?
They are disappointed, but they shouldn't be. We told them that it wasn't going to happen when he first hit the portal. We told everybody to slow down, and we get it. Here's a kid that, all conference. There's a huge need at Georgia. He's from Georgia. His position coach leaves West Virginia and is now the position coach at Georgia. There's four reasons why everyone just figured Miller was going to line up at starting cornerback at UGA. But we're like, it's not that easy, folks. A, we didn't think he was going to make a decision until summer. And also, B, he has to be better than what Georgia has on the roster now. That means you have to be able to come in and beat out a Keely Ringo. You have to beat out a Nylon Green. You have to beat out a Jalen Kimber. You have to be better than a Darren Branch. There's a lot of – Georgia's got 6-7 guys who are really, really talented, who've been getting work in, and the coaches have to think that if they're going to go after him and bring him in here, then they're going to – that he's better than what they have. I don't think that he quite has the speed to play in Georgia's defense. The way Georgia lines up, they put guys on an island a lot. They don't play the – more cover two, like Derek Mason does of Andy. So I just think that he's not an actual fit for what Georgia wanted, although it seemed like an absolute slam dunk. But when you get into how Georgia plays and what they need, look at the speed that Jalen Kimber puts up. Look at the speed that you see from Keely Ringo running his 23 miles an hour, his 4.40s, 4.340s, stuff like that. You got to be an Eric Stokes or a Tyson Campbell to play the quarterback position for Kirby Smart. You've got to be just lightning fast, and I just don't think he has that.
Is it kind of egg on their face that you mentioned for Miller, all right, that's one thing, but Eric Gilbert was somebody that a lot of people thought once his name went into the transfer portal down in Baton Rouge that for sure he would be in play at Georgia, and they didn't get both of them. I mean, is that kind of egg on their face, or was it kind of a wishing, really kind of pie in the sky there and not necessarily wishing on something that was realistic?
I think they really wanted a Reed Gilbert. You'd be a fool not to. Guy with 35 catches as a true freshman at LSU with an offense that was not actually tearing it up like they had been the year before. Reed Gilbert is probably one of the best tight ends I've ever seen, in the 20-some-odd years I've been doing this. You can just see when you walk out and catch him at a camp, he's just head and shoulders above everybody else. So Georgia absolutely wants him, but if I'm Florida, I'm saying, look what Kyle Pitts did. And now let's look at the five-star quarterback. The five-star tight end Georgia's brought in. What did Washington do? Oh, he caught a few passes there at the end. That's cute. When it comes to proof in the pudding, your past history with what you've done, Florida's able to show him an offense or at least a style of play with the tight ends that appealed to him. And Georgia is sitting there with, five different running backs who are grading out at almost 80%. That's three more than just about anybody else in the league. Georgia still looks like a ground and pound offense, even though you do have JT Daniels back there. But they weren't really showing him that they feature a tight end getting 35 catches a year. So I think that that was one where they, I don't think, had egg on their face. They just don't have the history to sell to an Reed Gilbert. Whereas with a Drayshon Miller, was not in the cards. If they really wanted him, they'd have gone after him really hard. They had his position coach. It would have been a slam dunk, but Georgia passed. But, you know, you don't pass on a Reed Gilbert. You just, especially if he goes to your opposition and you have to face the kid, that's never good.
Publisher of UGASports.com, Roddy Nabulsi, joining us here on the Chuck Oliver Show. And Roddy, you touched on a couple of names that could be featured at the cornerback spot this year, Kelee Ringo being one of them. But let's go to the edge rusher situation. Aziz Ojulari leaving, that leaves a pretty huge role to fill for a talented group that's there and some guys that have been able to contribute. But how do they sit at being able to come off the edge here going into spring?
You know, you also losing Jermaine Johnson, I think, was a big deal going to Florida State. That was a guy who was, I don't know, I felt like he was just coming into what he's capable of. I hate that he decided that he needed to move on because I was really wanting to see what he could do in that fourth year. But I will say this, 2 years ago when we were actually at practice, Coach Smart was watching his guys. They were all the edge rushers were coming off they come off the line, and they had to run around the giant dummy and pick up a tennis ball. Mm-hmm. Now, the point being, they have to pick it up with their inside hand to get their hips twisted, get their shoulders down to basically get around a tackle. You know, that's the idea, is you're doing muscle memory to train getting around this tackle. You know, you're dipping your shoulder underneath him, getting to the quarterback. He comes over, and in front of all the others, he starts getting on Adam Anderson's case because he doesn't feel that Adam Anderson's going fast enough. Although Adam is beating everybody else, we're sitting there with a stopwatch, and he's going quick. And he said, in front of all the other guys, this is, you know, Aziz Ojulari, Nolan Smith, all those guys, Adam, you are the fastest outside linebacker we got. You need to be going faster. You know, no bones about it. No, we didn't spare anyone's feelings. He tells everybody, you're my fastest guy. And Adam was moving, but the point being, Adam is one of the quickest defensive threats we've seen at Georgia in quite some time. He was this third down specialist. Now, with Aziz Ojulari gone, you expect to see Adam Anderson out there a lot. You expect to see Nolan Smith get his shots. I am looking forward to seeing what Adam Anderson can do on a three down basis. I think that guy, you know, it's been tough for him to put on some muscle mass. He's just so big and I don't say skinny. He's not skinny, but he just hasn't put on the huge muscles that you saw when you saw Adam Anderson kind of fill out. I mean, Aziz Ojulari fill out. You haven't quite seen that in Adam. But when he comes off the line, it is like he is shot out of a cannon. And I think when you have Jordan Davis, you know, Devontae Wyatt, those guys, you know, Tramell Walter, clogging up the middle. And, you know, you're going to have to double-team those guys. You're not going to get as much one-on-ones with Jordan Davis coming in. That's going to free up a guy like Adam Anderson to, you know, get his one-on-one matchup on the edge, and he's going to come and drive you crazy. And even if you do double-team him, then you're freeing up your inside linebackers, your N'Kobe Deans, to get, mm-hmm. you know, 14, 15, 16 tackles a game.
Roddy, got about 30 seconds left because we're up against the hard out here. And the offensive side of the ball, if the success comes the way that Georgia fans hope it does this year, is that going to be more on JT Daniels, or is it going to be second year of Todd Monken? About 30 seconds, please.
Give me second year of Coach Monken and all the other guys getting it in. Also, give me Matt Luke getting that offensive line worked out, because you just saw how many times Coach Monken had guys wide open. You know, and I think that you start hitting those with a JT Daniels. It wouldn't take a great quarterback to complete those passes that Coach Monken called up.
Roddy, appreciate your time as always. Sorry we only had a short visit this time. We'll get you back here pretty soon, especially before the start of spring practice.
No worries, my friend. Take care.
I appreciate it. Roddy Nabulsi again, publisher, UGASports.com. And, yeah, I mean, you know, it's just interesting to hear that, too, in terms of the two guys that immediately, once they hit the transfer portal, Georgia fans, oh, yeah, hey, definitely going to come here. And, of course, you know, thinking, oh, man, we lost out on those guys? That's huge on us. But as you just heard there from Roddy Nabulsi, not necessarily the case. And usually, at a lot of times, that is the case.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves. And people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Closing it out here on a Tuesday, and final two segments, we are doing what we normally do in the first hour. It is a Bar Tuesday, so that means let's go right to the phone lines. Let's be joined by our good buddy Dave Bartu, College Football Matrix, at CFB Matrix on Twitter is the way that you can find Dave and the genius work that he does there. Dave, I mentioned it during headlines. How are you, by the way? Hopefully you're doing well here on a Tuesday.
It's greater out here.
Oh, yeah. No, it always is up in the Pacific Northwest, right? I mean, the weather necessarily never gets that terrible up there, so you got that going for you.
Absolutely. Got the sticks in the truck today, so hopefully can get on the golf course.
Oh, jealousy abounds, Dave. Jealousy abounds. We might have to cut this to one segment today then. No, I'm just kidding. What type of quarterback is Matt Wells getting at Texas Tech with Tyler Shuck choosing there?
Well, you got an experienced one. You know, I think that's the biggest thing. You look at Texas Tech from a recruiting standpoint, Kingsbury just recruited him right into the dirt. He was a terrible recruiter, and Tech hung on to him too long. So Texas Tech's really never been that great of a recruiter anyways. I do like that Tyler went closer to home. I always kind of rule of thumb when you're dealing with the prima donna positions, wide receiver, running back, quarterback, keep them closer to home. The farther they go away, the bigger the attrition number. So I like that he's in Texas. He's from Arizona. So I think there's a little bit of connectivity there. You get an experienced guy who was in a good offense, who has been at Oregon. So he's bringing Oregon experience as well, not just game experience, but how they ran things, how they recruited and so forth. So I think it's a great opportunity for Tyler, and I think it's good for Tech to bring somebody with that kind of potential quality into the program.
And he leaves Joe Moorhead and the offensive system that they had there at Oregon. And I know at least in this part of the country, some people kind of look at Joe Moorhead and they're like, well, he didn't do much at Mississippi State. What necessarily makes him so special? But he's a guy that came highly recommended out of Penn State and then took that from there over to Eugene. I mean, what is it necessarily that makes him so coveted in this profession?
It's scoring efficiency. It was even before Penn State, because a lot of people say, well, Penn State, look at the talent he had. Well, when Penn State was looking for a new offensive coordinator, when we were working on that, one of the things is we're always looking outside the box, and Joe Moorhead was the number one rated FCS head coach / offensive coordinator at the time, and he was at Fordham, right there in Pennsylvania, right there in their backyard. So this was a guy that even before he went to Penn State, we had him number one on the list to come out of the FCS as an offensive coordinator for somebody. So I think Joe might be one of those guys that is simply a really good offensive coordinator, but maybe just has at least the head coach side of it. He had 2 years at Mississippi State, and I think the mistake there might have been bringing on too many buddies, too many people that he is familiar with, rather than trying to hire best available. And a lot of guys will do that when they get that first real big job. They will gravitate towards what is comfortable, not what's best, what's comfortable. And the buddy hire, the comfortable hire, that's how you lose your jobs a lot of times, is your buddies really aren't necessarily the best guys available. By the time I think Joe maybe figured that out, trying to make a transition, boom, it was already done at Mississippi State. But from an offensive coordinator standpoint, you look at his numbers, the efficiency is there. From a scoring standpoint, no matter where he has been as the offensive coordinator, the numbers have been good.
Dave Bartu, College Football Matrix, joins us every week here on the Chuck Oliver Show. And Dave, another part that I want to go to is the analyst position. And I think that people, at least college football fans, they hear this guy hired as a defensive analyst at, let's just say, Alabama. And they kind of just look at it as, all right, that's just somebody that's in the building. But how much do you look into the value of what an analyst can bring a program?
I think it depends on what kind of value you're trying to get out of it, okay? Because are you looking to bring in a guy that is excellent at watching film, dissecting it? There's, you know, from a recruiting standpoint, the ideas he brings, you know, because you may bring a guy in as a quote-unquote analyst, okay? Doesn't have a headset, he's not on the field, but it could be somebody that's very experienced. Okay, for example, you know, Kevin Steele's looking for a job, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, here's a guy who's been an elite defensive coordinator, but he could end up at Alabama as an analyst. You know, so you think about the skill set he brings there. And I find this throughout the country is different guys hired as analysts. Are put in there for a different skill set. Some of it may be energy. Some of it is a change of culture. You know, working with one offensive analyst this morning, actually right here on the West Coast, and we were breaking down because their biggest deficiency on third down was third and less than three. They were bottom half in the country in third and less than three. Third and greater than three, they were top 10. And so as an analyst, we were working on teams that were successful on third and three or less in rushing and in passing, and we were looking for high numbers. And then from there, we look at pace, what teams are snapping the football, the same pace as the current offense this guy works under. And then now we can go to the film guy and say, okay, here's the film we want to see and break it down to try to make our offense better in this scenario. So I think when it comes down to an analyst, it's kind of in title only. You got to go a little step further and go, okay, what's this guy's background? Why is he coming in as a quote-unquote defensive analyst title or offensive analyst? But what's the skill set that he is really going to bring? Because it also may be special teams and other things like that that are there.
Could it also be kind of a personal preference, Dave, like where you have some guys who get into these roles with the goal of either getting their first major chance on field as a coach, or even those who are trying to, as the joke has been made in Tuscaloosa, of rehabilitate yourself in the program with Nick Saban. But also, too, I mean, let's face it, there are some guys out there who are fine being Ernie Adams, right? That just, they don't necessarily feel comfortable leading a group of players, but they know how to be able to put those players in position to win, right?
Yes. It's finding your niche because, you know, there's all sorts of salary structures and different jobs. And I think that some coaches are really good in certain positions. That's why, you know, we've had the discussion about, wow, this guy isn't a very good head coach, but he's a great offensive or defensive coordinator. Same thing with the analyst side or any of these other positions. There's a lot of people out there that are comfortable being title X at pay X and not have any upward aspirations. They're happy being on campus. They're happy breaking it down. They don't have recruiting pressure. They're really good at what they do. I mean, you know, making 120, 150, 180, 200,000 a year with no recruiting pressure, no headset or anything like that, and you get to go hang out on campus. I mean, there's some pretty good jobs out there that don't have the pressure, but a lot of good pay.
Speaking of Alabama, as I just mentioned there in that example, I mean, a lot of people looked at the hiring of Bill O'Brien and were kind of like, what's the end game here? What's the play here? I mean, I guess, what exactly do you think Bill O'Brien's going to be asked to do?
Not lose games. You know, I mean, realistically, Alabama's just a different animal. Dude, they almost won a national championship with Loxley and LaPoy / Golding as rookie defensive coordinators. It's just, don't turn the ball over. Alabama's just a different animal. So I don't know what he's going to bring to the table in terms of offensive firepower, creativity, and so forth. I don't think he's going to be anywhere near the creative aggressiveness of a Sarkisian or a Lane Kiffin. I think there's going to be more of a pro type of offense that isn't running at as high of a snap rate, or maybe is not, maybe not even as much passing as you had in the past with Kiffin and Sarkisian. So, but ultimately, when you're hired in that position, is just try not to be worse than below average, because they have so much talent, they just win football games no matter who they bring in.
All right, as usually the case, we always have so much to talk about with David, and we are going to do that coming up next, because Dave, I want to get into a little bit of the value of the head coach in the recruiting game and what it can necessarily do for the program as a whole. So we will do that and much, much more here. Second segment, Dave Bartu, College Football Matrix, right here on the Chuck Oliver Show. Dan in for Chuck, right here on Southern Sports Today.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
To the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Wrapping up a Tuesday edition of the Chuck Oliver Show. It's Dan Matthews in for Chuck, and let's get right back to it with College Football Matrix's Dave Bartu. And Dave, you know, I mentioned about head coaches as recruiters, and recently 24/7 Sports, a panel of the recruiting experts, just put together a list of rankings for the head coaches there in Power 5 football, or not just Power 5 football, but FBS football there in the state. Manny Diaz is number one. And the number one question that always comes up with Miami is, what do they need to do in order to be a national title contender again? Can he recruit his way to it?
Personally, by himself, no. You know, I don't. When it comes down to the head coaches as recruiters, I think they're only as good as the guys around them that recruit for them. So, and what I mean by that is, to me, the head coach is the closer. He doesn't go out there. This is kind of like the whole analogy of used car salesman. Let me get my manager to close this deal. It really comes down to that, I believe. That's why I like having a CEO head coach, because I think that's one of the important jobs as a CEO head coach, is to hire the guys that go out into your car lot and find the people that need to be sold to. Now, most of them you hire are good enough to close on their own, but on the tough sales, the tough closes, the close you have to have, that is where the head coach, in my opinion, needs to come in and close it. So, you know, if Manny's rated number one, that's great. You know, I'd love to know the criteria in terms of breaking all of that down. But to me, the head coach as a recruiter, the first job is to hire the best recruiters. The second job is to close on the recruiting when needed.
And Dan Mullen is somebody, of course, in that state that really, you know, he's just kind of interesting, Dave, isn't he? Like, where it almost kind of seems like for him, it's not necessarily the end of the world if he doesn't get the top tier prospect, because it seems like to me, he kind of looks at it and says, I can develop, I can coach, I can get these guys in the position. But how much longer can he necessarily win on that without trying to go toe-to-toe with the Georgias, Bamas, the Clemsons, and the other programs who are trying to come into his state and take the best players and be able to beat him with those best players?
Well, I mean, straight up, is the first thing you have to look at with national titles is recruiting. You know, I brought this up 15 years ago when I first started modeling behavior analytics just in the championship games. And back then it was BCS. But to me, is you can win a ton. Dan Mullen can win a ton of games. He can win 10, 11 games a year. He can win the SEC East. He might even be able to squeak out an SEC title. Doubtful. At the current talent level that he recruits at, which is usually somewhere between, you know, 10 and 15. You know, he's kind of in that low teens area. Mm-hmm. But given that he is in the same conference as four top 10 recruiters, he's in the same conference as basically the two of the top three recruiters in the country in Georgia and Alabama. And given that his career offensive play calling profile and Todd Grantham's defensive calling profile is not that great, both are above average, but neither one is elite, to be able to expect or predict a national title with less than top 10 talent, with non-elite offensive and defensive play calling, I think it's too much to ask, and it won't happen unless the talent gets better.
Let's flip over to the Big 12. Steve Sarkisian, obviously the talk of the offseason, taking over at Texas. And I don't think I'm being unfair here, Dave, by saying he was not all that great at Washington. He gets the SC job. He was doing good, but then obviously it was stopped short. What necessarily did he need to change in order to hopefully be successful in Austin?
I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, at Washington, he was a really good recruiter. You know, when he left, Peterson came in and took his recruits to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So from a recruiting standpoint, I think he's good. He was a good recruiter at USC. We all know about, or at least somewhat it's been touched on, with the drinking problems in the past. Is that a thing now? I highly doubt it. But it's probably something that he gets to regulate every day. You know, he hasn't been a head coach anywhere else but those two spots, and both of those were underperforming, specifically at USC, but he wasn't there very long. So I don't know if you can really judge USC right now as a body of work. Washington, he was about one game under talent expectations a year. Not great, but also not terrible. You look at the offensive side of it, he has developed very well in that. He is a very good play caller. So I think with Texas, I think the biggest underrated part in the whole staffing is getting Pete Kwiatkowski out of Washington. I think Texas right now, I think Texas and Oklahoma, that Red River rivalry game could be for a playoff spot. I think Texas is ready to go right now. So with Sarkisian, I think he's made a lot of good hires. I think he's gone outside of the buddy system and is trying to find the best available, which I obviously love that. The recruiting's already there. This is a top 15 offense last year, top 40 defense last year. Most of these guys are all coming back. You have probably one of the best offensive defensive coordinator combos in college football. It's all in place. It all circles back to your original question, which is Sarkisian as a head coach. Mm-hmm. That is the total question mark. Everything else, in my opinion, the boxes are checked, man. The boxes are all checked for Texas right now, today. Let's go. Cupboard's not bare. This thing is ready to rip. And I think they're going to do extremely well. The question is just going to come down to the coaching, the culture, keeping it all together, and decisions he makes in big, tight games.
And no better test for them either, too, Dave, in week one when you got Billy Napier and Louisiana coming into Austin. I mean, normally you look at it on the schedule and say, all right, that's a good tune-up. That's not going to be the case. That's going to be a good Raging Cajun team coming in there. You mentioned Oklahoma there, and I think that they're just a program that's really interesting to me. And obviously the next frontier for Lincoln Riley is to not only make the college football playoff, he's checked that box, it's to be able to win a game and be in that final two. Can they ever be more than just a participant?
Oh, they're right there. I mean, they're right on the edge. In terms of talent, I think they're more talented than Florida. The offensive coordinator, I think Lincoln Riley, actually, I don't think it. It's just on paper, Lincoln Riley is a better play caller than Dan Mullen. And defensively, I would take Grinch over Grantham. You know, so you know, we brought up Florida before, and I think when you compare these two, they're pretty similar, except Oklahoma's talent level is a little bit better. Their defensive coordinator, I feel, is better. Their offensive coordinator is better. Both programs, though, are just, like I said, right on that fringe, top 10. Florida's a little farther outside of it. I think for them to make an impact in the playoffs, specifically a national title game, I think the difference is going to be having an NFL-level quarterback. That's how you win without the super elite talent. The difference has got to be on the quarterback side of it. So, to me, with Oklahoma, all the pieces are there. The talent is national, you know, certainly playoff level, borderline national talent level. I think what will separate them is maybe a special quarterback, but offense and defensive side of it, I think that's taken care of as well. Going forward, if Texas holds up their end of the bargain with the staffing, Oklahoma, Texas should be for, heck, if we go to eight teams, it's going to be for a playoff spot. Pretty much every year with that kind of coaching that both sides have.
Yeah, really interesting, that is for sure. And I know that that's something that fans at both schools definitely hope is the case. I mean, and you know, I think that's interesting, too. I mean, if for about 30 seconds here, Dave, I mean, NFL-level quarterback, I think an Oklahoma fan would hear that and say, well, Dave, I mean, you know, Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, I mean, what necessarily didn't they deliver that feeds into the criteria you're just bringing up there?
They had a new defensive coordinator. Okay, I think with was it with Baker? Was it Grinch before? It was Stoops before Grinch.
Mm-hmm.
So you had a huge deficiency at defensive coordinator. Then you brought in Grinch. So you're restarting the defense. Different mentality, different culture. So yeah, they had an NFL quarterback, but they didn't have the defensive piece of the puzzle there, and also just not quite the full talent level. Just because they have an NFL quarterback, I think it gives them a chance to win it. But having that NFL quarterback doesn't necessarily mean you are going to, obviously. So I think with Oklahoma, it is just didn't have all the right pieces. And LSU is a great example.
Yes.
You know, it's they got all the pieces all at once, and boom, it happened, and then those pieces scattered. So with Oklahoma, I think they have the pieces. It's just trying to find that one magic season.
No doubt about it. Dave, appreciate your time as always. And you hear the music. I mean, we always run out of time with you because there's just so much we could talk about with you. So let's do it again next Tuesday at the normal time. Sound good?
Take it easy, brother. You have a good week.
All right, you as well. Dave Bartu, College Football Matrix. Want to thank him. Want to thank Florida State head coach Mike Norvell for joining us. Also, Roddy Nabolsi of UGASports.com. And want to thank you, the listeners out there. We always appreciate you riding shotgun with us here any day of the week. David Holloway behind the glass. I'm Dan Matthews. Chuck back tomorrow. This is the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today. Talk to you then.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.